Hi, and welcome to C3 Church, Bridgman Downs. We hope you enjoy this week's message.
We're reading from Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And it says this, "And they," that is the church, "continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship and breaking of bread and prayers." What does it mean they continued steadfastly? When we begin to look at the other scriptures or translations, we begin to understand it is a very deep word or couple of words. It means they kept their focus on the apostles' doctrine and these other things. It means they committed themselves. So it wasn't that they were just turning up or just being involved in an event. No, they were continuing steadfastly. They were committed to the apostles' doctrine, to fellowship, to breaking of bread, to prayers. Now, we understand the importance of this when we actually go back to John's Gospel, chapter 17. And if you've got your Bibles, you can turn and you can look at it, and you'll see there the prayer of Jesus. He's talking to his Father. But in this prayer, he says some remarkable things. He actually begins to tell the Father about what he has done in giving gifts to his disciples. And this is what he says: "I've given them eternal life. I've given them your name. I've given them joy. I've given them glory. I've given them love." But he also says, "I've given them your word." This is a very important concept to understand. These were gifts supernaturally given by the Lord Jesus himself to the 12 apostles. They were the foundation of the church. They were to be the eyewitnesses of all that happened to Jesus. And so what happened was, when Jesus went back to heaven, these apostles continued that same work. They continued preaching what Jesus preached. They continued reaching out to the people that did not know Christ. They continued to fellowship, and they continued to share the teaching that Jesus had given them. Now, of course, over the next 60 years, until AD 90, all of these teachings, all of these practices were given both verbally by the apostles, but they also began to write down these revelations and teachings. And so by the year AD 90, when the last apostle died, that's John, the New Testament actually was complete, but it consisted in a number of letters and articles, if you like, and documents. And so over the next period of time, all of these documents were gathered and they were put into one book that we now know as the New Testament. Then after that, the Old Testament that had already been completed and compiled, that got brought together and compiled into what we know today as the Bible or the Holy Scriptures. I say all that to say this: when it says that the early church continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, what they were actually saying was they were committed to the Word of God, to the message of Christ. And the 12 apostles and others like Paul were faithful in recording this, inspired by God, so that future generations would have no doubt as to the will and the testament and the practice of Jesus in the early church. How wonderful is this? The Apostle Peter put it this way in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. He said, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation." He's referring to what we now can hold in our hands, the Scriptures, the teaching of Jesus. So if the Bible, the scriptures are so important and central to our faith, how can you and I, like the early church, continue steadfastly in the scriptures? Did you know that the Bible contains over 3,500 promises? Isn't that incredible? You see, everything that God provided for us through Christ comes in the form of a promise. Why is that? Because God works through faith. God doesn't automatically do everything he's promised in the Bible. There must be a connection between the Bible, if you like, and our faith. That's how God set it up. This is called the appropriation of the promises of God. We must appropriate all that God has given us in Christ Jesus. It's contained in the Word of God. We appropriate it by faith, and we come into the very experience of what has actually been faithfully written in the Scriptures. This kind of appropriation, the Bible teaches, has three components to it. We must believe in our heart that the Word of Christ is alive and true. Then the Bible teaches us in Romans 10 that believing in our heart, we are then to confess it out of our mouths. We begin to actually speak what God has promised, and now we believe in our heart and we begin to speak it out. What I've discovered to be true, because this is what the Bible teaches, that when we have that level and that kind of faith that believes the promise of God and begins to speak the promise of God, we begin to actually do the promise of God. We actually begin to experience the very things that God has promised to us. A believing heart, a confessing mouth, and a doing practically in our lives. James put it this way. He said, don't just be a hearer of the word, but be a doer. Faith without works is dead. The writer to the Hebrews spoke of the Jewish people, the Hebrews, and he said this of them, the word given them did not profit them because it wasn't mixed with faith in those that heard it. The promises of God must be mixed with faith in our hearts and in our lives. We must mix God's word like a big cake mixture. We bring the promises in, we mix it with faith and belief, and then we begin to put it into practice. The Bible teaches us that when we live like that, we're going to prosper, we're going to profit, we're going to be released from our problems and our negativity, and we're going to be able to walk into the very promises that God gives us in his word. So let's talk about this then. If this is true, then what will the word of God do for us? What will happen when we appropriate God's word like this, when we continue steadfastly in the word of God? I've got eight things really quick that I'm going to share with you the Bible will do for you and me when we appropriate it by faith and we continue steadfastly in it. Number one, the Bible teaches us we are saved through the word of God. In Peter, it says we are born again, not of an incorruptible seed, but by the word of God. I would like to put an idea to you today that could probably help us. Being saved isn't just from our past. We need to be saved in our present every day. Can you relate to that? We're going to face problems. We're going to face mountains, difficulties. Things aren't always going to work out the way we want it to or we've dreamed it because we live in an imperfect world. That's where we need to have the word of God in our hearts and our mouths and in our lives so that when we're encountering these situations, not only have we been saved, but we will be saved now. And we know that as we continue to live in the Word of God and continue to continue steadfastly in it, we will ultimately be saved when the Lord Jesus comes back again, or if we die and go to be with Him. We're going to be filled with His Word because His Word saves us. Number two, the Bible says we grow by the Word of God. Spiritual growth and the Word of God go hand in hand. We cannot grow without the Word. Peter put it this way. He said, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. As we believe the Word, as we confess it, as we act it out and live in a way that pleases God, the Bible teaches us we're actually going to grow. We're going to be strengthened. We're going to become bigger people on the inside because of the Word of God working in us. The third thing that the Word of God will do for us is frame our world by the Word of God. God first, on that creation morning in Genesis 1, He framed the worlds and the universes by His Word. I believe one of the reasons He's given us His Word written is so that we can frame our world, our life, through the Word of God. By speaking the promises of God and the will of God and the Word of God into our world, we will frame a whole new world for us. Amazing. Framed. Hebrews says this, by faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. See, here's the point, my friends. If we are filled with doubt and fear, and we're speaking that, we begin to frame our world full of doubt and fear and hostility. But if our world is filled with the Word of God, and the promises of God, and we begin to speak into our world faith, hope, and love, can do. Have a guess what we create? Those very words by the power of God begin to create a new world or a new life for us. It's called the confession of our faith. The fourth thing the Bible will do as we read it and continue steadfastly in it, we will be complete and equipped for every good work. Paul wrote to Timothy and said, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, that the person of God, the man, the woman of God, would be perfect or complete, thoroughly equipped and furnished for every good work. As we fill ourselves with the Word of God, as we confess it and live it, we will find ourselves being complete. We will find ourselves having something to give, something to help others with, because the Word of God is far bigger than us. It's far bigger than just helping me and releasing me. The Word of God begins to help others coming out of our lives, out of our mouths, out of our experience. And we will equip others as they will grow and catch hold of the Word of God. The fifth thing the Bible will do for you is become a mirror in your life. What does a mirror do? Well, a mirror does two things. It shows you what's not correct, but it also shows you what's correct. So before you have a bath or a shower and get cleaned up, you look in the mirror and you go, wow, I know, oh, well, I've got to fix my hair and I'm going to have to do this and have a shave. Or then after you go and do it all, what do you always do? You come back and look in the mirror again, don't you? And then when it's all good, you go your way. See, that's what the Bible does. The Bible isn't just about rules and regulations to tell us what we haven't got. The Bible shows us what we haven't got. But as we read the Word of God, we begin to understand and see what we can have, what God has provided for us. And it's like getting all dressed up and showered and cleaned up. And then finally, we're able to step out into the world confident because the Bible is a mirror. And when we make a mistake, the Bible will speak to us. David put it this way. He said, your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. As we store up the Bible, the sixth thing is we will be kept from sin. Not only will the Bible show us what's wrong and show us what's right, the Bible will also show us that we can be free from sin and our problems. Number 7, when we are filled with the Word of God, our lives will be so full of peace and security, we will actually live unoffendable. David put it this way. He said, "Great peace have they that love your law, and nothing shall offend them." When we are just full of God's word, when we are speaking it, and when we are living it, and we're just so busy being fulfilled in his purpose, what's an offense? How can I become offended? There's no room for offense because I've stored up God's word. I've filled my life with God's word and made his word a priority in my life. And number 8, the Bible teaches us that when we continue steadfastly in the word of God, we will have understanding and wisdom for life. David said in Psalm 119, verse 130, "The entrance of your words give light. It gives understanding to the simple." The Bible will make us wise. The Bible will fill our lives with understanding and good things. So we asked the question at the beginning, why is continuing steadfastly in the Word of God so important? The answer simply is this: because the Word of God will do so much for us, in us, and through us. This is why our church is a Bible-believing church. It's not about what you believe or what I believe. I read nowhere in the Bible where God asks my opinion. I can't find my name in here. He doesn't ask me what I think. He has provided his will and testament. A Bible-believing church, a Bible-believing Christian is a person, is a church who are living continually devoted into the Word of God. That's the secret for a great life, my friends. And I find we live in a culture that is just full of opinion. Everyone's got an opinion. Everybody's got a say on something. And everyone wants to have a say on something. But I know that won't build my faith. I know what builds our faith. It is a devotion to the Word of God. Filling our hearts with His words. Speaking His words out of our lives. And beginning to live it out in our experience. That will make our lives full. It will make our lives blessed and prospered. And God has made that way for you and me through the promises contained in His Word.
We hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to respond to this message in any way or would like to talk to one of our pastors, please email us at inquiries@c3bd.com. Or for any more information about our church and the events we have coming up, please go to c3bd.com. Have a great week.